Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next half hour as we share together with you from God's Word. Today we will continue our series of studies on the topic life. Find it, get it, learn it, live it. We are seeking in this series of studies to understand the living God and the life-giving God and how we can receive that life that is in God and in Jesus Christ as our own possession. We invite you to turn to Acts chapter 17. That is the passage that we're using as our starting point for this series of studies. So if you'd like to take a moment now and get your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 17, we would encourage you to do so. We also would encourage you to get a pen or pencil and some paper to get down our contact information at the end of the program. We have a mailing address, of course, a toll-free phone number, and also a web address. And through any of those means, you can contact us here at Grace Alive, and we certainly would invite and encourage you to do so. Right now, Acts chapter 17. And Acts chapter 17, we want to read just two verses as we begin in Acts 17, verse 24 and 25. And there we read this: God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. God that made the world and all things therein, and the verses close with the statement, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. The God that Scripture reveals is a God that gives life. He giveth to all life. And this month, we want to focus on that truth, that the God of Scripture, the God we serve as Christians, the God that the Bible reveals is a God that gives life. And life, as I said, is our main topic of discussion this month. And as we discuss life, we want to understand four truths about life, four points about life. First of all, we want to understand where we can find life. Secondly, how we can get life. Thirdly, how we can learn the life that we find and get. And lastly, how can we live the life that we receive from the God of Scripture? Life. Find it, get it, learn it, live it. Last week, we talked about how to find life or where to find life. And we saw that the God of Scripture is a God that reveals himself. He is a revealer of truth. God is not a secretive God. He's not a God that withholds information. He's not a God that doesn't want you to know about him. In fact, to the contrary, he's a God that wants a relationship with you. He wants a close, intimate, personal relationship with you. And as you know, the more you know about someone, the closer relationship you can have with them. The more you know about a friend, and the more that friend knows about you, the closer your relationship. The more you get to know your wife or a wife or husband, the more close their relationship becomes. And God's desire is that he reveal himself to us. Last week we saw that revelation takes the form of revelation, inspiration, and preservation. That God reveals truth. He inspires. That is, he writes that truth down on a page so that it's accessible to us. And then he preserves those written words through the ages so that they're accessible not just at the time they're written, but for the ages to come. And the source of life, where you go to find life, is the pages of God's Word, the pages of the Bible. That's where you can find life. This book, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The writer of Hebrews says the word of God is quick. That's an old English word that means alive. The word of God is alive. It's living. So God gives life. He is alive. He gives life. And he has placed his life in a book. When we say that we need to find life, we mean that there needs to be some tangible, objective standard of God's life. You can't just walk out in the woods somewhere and wait for God to hit you with His life. You can't find it in mysticism or in spiritism or in the philosophies of men. God has placed His life in a book. And we pointed out last week that one of the unique things about the Bible is that it's a book that is revealing God over the course of 1,500 years. The Bible is a continuous revelation of God revealing Himself to mankind over the course of 1,500 years and nearly 40 authors. You see, that alone sets this book, the Bible, apart from any other book. From the Book of Mormon or from the Quran or from any other book that men claim to be a revelation from God. Those books are all books written by one man in one brief period of one lifetime. They are not the revelation of an eternal God like the Bible is. So once we know how to find life, or should I say where to find life, we find life in the pages of this book, in the pages of the Bible. As we pointed out last week, although the purpose of this study is not to get into detail about it, that life for English-speaking people, those words for English-speaking people, is preserved in the King James Bible. Now, we know that life is in this book. That's where it resides. The next step, and what we want to discuss today, is how do we get that life? We know where to find it. We find it in the pages of a book. How do we get it? The life that's in that book, the life of God, the life of Christ that's revealed in that book, that makes the pages of that book alive, quick, powerful. How do we receive it? How do we have that life of Christ? I guess, first of all, the thing we should ask is, why do we need life? Why do we need some life other than just this physical life that we live? Why do we need God's life? Well, let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. And in the book of Genesis, we find out how mankind got this problem with death. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden, gave him but one commandment. The commandment, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat, you will die. As you read on, it's not very long till mankind does just that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So man violated God's promise, God's commandment rather, violated God's law, ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in so doing brought death to himself. And when man ate of the fruit of that tree and brought death to himself, he brought death in every way that man could die. That is, man is three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Man is a body, this body of flesh that carries around our soul and spirit that allows us to interact and relate to the world around us. Man is a soul. The soul is the seat of our will and our emotion and our affections. It's what allows us to relate to one another as human beings. And the spirit is our intellect, our understanding, our mind that allows us to know that there's a God. This allows us to look out and see the universe and know that there must be a God that created that universe. And when mankind died, every part of man died. Every part of man was created to serve God, to have some part and play some role in serving God. And when mankind sinned, every part of mankind and the purpose for which it was created ceased and mankind died. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. And let's see in Romans chapter 1 how that process occurred. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 24. Romans 1 and verse 24. And in this passage, Paul is going to tell us about the fall of man and mankind turning away from God. And he says this in Romans 1 verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Mankind has a dishonored body. Mankind's bodies became subject to death. If you look in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections." That's the soul. The affections are a function of the soul. Your will and your affection, your soul died at the moment that man sinned. Verse 28, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." So man died, body, soul, and spirit. Every part of mankind died. Every part of mankind ceased to function for the purpose which it was created when he sinned. The spirit that was created to know God became alienated and separated from God. The soul that was created to have communion and fellowship with other human beings, there became enmity and strife among human beings. And that's why we read in Genesis 6 that violence filled the earth. And that body that was created to exist forever on the earth, to be an abode and a house and a dwelling for the soul and the spirit, it went back to the dust from which it was taken. Body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. Mankind died, alienated, separated from God. The reason that we need to find life somewhere and then get that life that we find is because we are dead. We are dead spiritually. Our soul is dead. It's at enmity with God and with one another. And our body of flesh is surely going to go back to the dust from which it was taken. So we need, once we know where life is found, we need to be able to get that life. We need to be able to receive new life. We need to be able to have that life of God that's in Christ Jesus become resident in us. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. Romans 6, verse number 23, and in Romans 6, 23, we see a key to that life. "The wages of sin is death." In other words, what sin has earned mankind is death. The wages of sin is death. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the life we want. What we've earned as a wage is death. Because Adam sinned, in Adam, all men die. In fact, if you turn back just a page in the book of Romans to chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The reason you need life is because you're a part of a race of dead men. You're a part of a race descended from Adam who sinned against Almighty God, and that sin brought death, and that death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the fact that all men die is proof and demonstration that all men are the children of Adam, and all men, therefore, are sinners. And that sin brings death, and that's why you need to find a way to get life. Even if you've never sinned, if there was one person listening to my voice who had never sinned, which there's not, but if there were, you would still be a sinner because you're Adam's child, because you're a son or a daughter of Adam, and Adam's sin is passed upon all men, and you are going to die someday because Adam is your father, and because he sinned, you became a sinner. Romans 6 that we just read gives us the remedy to that, though. The wage that mankind earned for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we know that this life that we want to get, we find it. It's going to be in the pages of that book. We saw that last week. The place we're going to go to find life is the pages of this book. You're not going to find it out in the world somewhere. You're not going to find it in the philosophies of men. You're not going to find it on the evening news. You're not going to find it in the pages of your newspaper. You're going to find it only one place, in this book, in the Bible, in God's Word. Now, how are we going to get it? Well, one thing we know about how we get it is it's a gift. We know that it's not something we can earn. We know that it's not something we work for. We know that it's not a wage. Unlike death, which is the wage that's earned by sin, life, eternal life, is a free gift. It's something that God gives to us. Now, does He give it to all men? Does He give life to all men? Or does He only give life to some men? He's giving it now. It's not something you can earn. You can't do something to try to please God to get Him to give you eternal life. It's a free gift. Keep your hand here in Romans, because we'll be back to the book of Romans, but turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians 2, Paul is going to talk to us about being dead in trespasses and sins, but then receiving life. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "And you hath He quickened." That's a word that means to make alive. "You hath He made alive, quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, Paul describes us there in the condition of death. We are by nature the children of wrath. We're dead in trespasses and sins and iniquities. But if you look at the first two words in verse 4, he tells us all these things that are wrong with us, all these things that were true when we were in sin, when we were dead in trespasses and sins. The first two words of verse 4, though, there, if you look at them in your Bible, are, "But God." When you were dead in trespasses and sins, when you were dead in Adam all die. And even when you have physical life and you're walking around in this body of flesh, spiritually you're dead, separated from God, alienated from Him. And even when you were that way, God did something. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So now we see it's God's mercy, but God, who is rich in mercy. He's going to give you the gift of salvation. He's going to give you the gift of eternal life because He's rich in mercy. You're saved by grace. That's God's going to give you eternal life because of His grace. God's mercy and God's grace are giving you eternal life. But there's another word in there that's mentioned. "For by grace are you saved through faith." That grace that comes, that eternal life that comes by God's mercy, by God's grace, comes through faith. It comes to those who believe. Faith is simply a word that means to believe. Turn with me, if you will, back to the book of Romans. I said we'd be going back there. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And notice with me, if you will, verse number 22. Even the righteousness of God. Now, we're talking about receiving the righteousness of God, which, as you look at Scripture, the thing that's required to have eternal life is righteousness. Those who are righteous receive eternal life. Those who are sinners, eternal death. So it's necessary to be righteous to have eternal life. How's that righteousness come? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Upon all them that believe. God's righteousness and therefore eternal life comes upon all them that believe, that have faith, by grace through faith. Through faith, through believing. What is it that you have to believe? So this life, the way to get this life, the way to move from death into life, once you've found life in the pages of that book, the way to get it is to receive it as a gift. The people that get the gift are those that believe, are those that have faith. Now what is it that you have to believe? I mean, you can believe lots of things. You just turn on your TV and there's people selling things a dime a dozen that want you to believe something. Either believe something that they think about God or believe something about some self-help program. They want you to believe something. What is it that you have to believe? Well, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. It's got something to do with Christ. Redemption is in Christ Jesus. Propitiation, satisfaction for sin is in His blood. So we need to believe something about Christ. What do we need to believe? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel by which the Corinthians were saved? What is it that they believed? I delivered unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you received, wherein ye stand. What is that? Remember what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. What is that they believed? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried. That He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That His blood is a propitiation, a satisfaction for your sin. That the sin that caused you death is taken away, is paid for completely by the blood of Jesus Christ. That when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He looked down, God looked down through the pages of history and He saw every sin that you would ever commit, every sin that you ever have committed, anything you're doing right now, or any sin that you ever will commit, and He took every one of those sins and He put them there on Jesus Christ, and because the wages of sin is death, Jesus Christ died. Because your sin and my sin was placed on Him. When He died, He paid the penalty for that sin. When He rose again from the dead, He had victory. Oh, he proved it was not his sin he died for, but it was ours. And the resurrection life, that life that caused him to rise from the dead, is what he wants to give you. He wants you to get that resurrection life. He wants you to get his life as a free gift. All you need to do is believe that when Christ died on that cross, he died for your sins, paid the penalty for those sins, and when he rose from the dead, he rose to give you eternal life. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive. If you'd like to understand more about how you can receive that life of Christ, our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE. We invite you to write to us this week with any questions or comments that you might have. And when you do, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, we'd be glad to send them to you without any cost or obligation. If you simply write, and when you write, request the audio, be sure to specify audio or video cassette tapes. We'll get them out to you right away without any cost or obligation. And then if you're not sure that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure that you have that life and you'd like to be sure, feel free to call, and we'd be glad to take all the time necessary to make sure that you understand that you have eternal life. Until next week, when we hope that you'll be tuned in again here at Grace Live, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.